Well, good evening, everyone. If we could take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. It's Proverbs chapter 3. And I simply want us to look at one verse. Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is our text this evening. Being Father's Day, there are some pieces of advice from your father that you can safely ignore. No, Dad, I'm not taking fashion advice from you. Navy does not go with black. There are some pieces of advice that are more appropriate, that should be taken on board. Son, always try to have savings in case there's an emergency, in case an unexpected bill arises. Have something to fall back on. In Proverbs 3, we have a father giving advice to his son. His advice must be heeded. His advice must be listened to, must be taken on board, must be lived by. To ignore this piece of advice will have eternal consequences. If you listen, if you obey to this word, you will see yourselves in the halls of heaven. If you ignore this word, if you listen and do not obey, you will find yourselves in the horrors of hell. This advice has eternal consequences. This advice tells us, this single verse tells us, that there is a wisdom that will damn and there's a wisdom that will deliver. And these will act as our two heads this morning. So firstly, the wisdom that damns. Look at the first half of verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. A God in his common grace has given us small kernels of wisdom. We're able to look out at the world and we're able to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil. Take, for instance, the current situation in Ukraine. Everyone can look at that and say, that is horrific. That is terrible. That's not right. This is God's common grace. But ultimately, despite that common grace, we are all at heart fools. We're all foolish. Without God's grace, we're all fools. Take, for instance, natural revelation. Look at the world around us. Creation, the book of creation, screams that there is a God. Look at the waterfall, the sun, the moon, the stars, your hand, even your eye. All of it testifies that God is. Romans 1 is explicit. It tells us that the invisible attributes of God are manifest, are known in creation. We have no excuse. And yet in our foolishness, what do? We believe that at the right point, under the right circumstances, at the right time, with the right materials, there was a big bang. And everything came into existence. Or worse yet, we believe that after this big bang, at the right time, at the right circumstances, under the right conditions, by some mere chance, by some dumb luck, the monkey came out of the ooze and the monkey became a man. This is our wisdom. It's foolishness. It's absolute moral madness. It's foolishness to the highest degree. Ultimately, our perceived wisdom is foolishness. And it says that I know best. And if I don't know best, Google does. Listen to a few quotes I found. You can never plan the future by the past. Sounds wise. Sounds spiritual. Or what about nothing is impossible? The word itself says I'm possible. It sounds wise. It sounds spiritual. It's the sort of thing you see in a fridge magnet or tattooed on someone's arm. People live their lives with this mantra. They live this as their life motto. It shows the foolishness of mankind. Ultimately, the words of Psalm 14, verse 1 are abundantly clear. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, we mightn't say that audibly. We mightn't utter those words under our breath. We mightn't say them out loud. But by our very actions, by our outward actions, we testify that we are foolish. We do not live as God's servants. We do not live as God's people. We do not live under God's law and for his glory. Now, this is our wisdom. It is sheer foolishness. And I simply want to bring this wisdom under the microscope. I want to highlight a few simple points and show the foolishness for what it really is. Foolishness. To show the foolishness as wisdom that will damn. So, what will your wisdom tell you, say about identity and purpose? Well, the world in its wisdom says, I can do what I want, I can be what I want, I can go where I want, no one can tell me what to do. I am what I want to be. How many genders do we have? I am what I want. Now, it's foolishness. If I were a squat, 4 foot, unathletic individual, you can probably not imagine the unathletic part. But if I were a 4 foot individual, and I had hopes and dreams of becoming a professional basketball player, well, the world says you do what you want to do. You can be that basketball player. Despite all physical attributes, despite all giftedness, despite all talent not being there, the world says, do what you want to do. This is your identity. It's foolishness. The world says, be what you want to be. Scripture tells us your identity, your purpose, it's found in being a child and a daughter and a son of God. The Bible and true wisdom tells us that our purpose and our identity is serving God. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We live for the glory of God. We live to make His name known among the nations. We live to serve Him and to serve other brothers and sisters in Christ. Our identity is not wrapped up in what we think. It is wrapped up in what God has revealed. This is true wisdom. The wisdom of the world says, be what you want. The wisdom of the world will damn. But what does your wisdom say about happiness and hope? What brings the world any real contentment? Health? Wealth, fast car, big house, good lucrative career, climbing the corporate ladder, a nice garden, pick your poison. The world says it's accumulating, gathering together as much as you can, having as much enjoyment as possible. Scripture says all is vanity. Everything is vanity. It is a chasing after the wind. And ultimately, we as human beings, we're all addicted to something. We're all looking for happiness somewhere, be it narcotics or be it Netflix. We're looking for that happiness. But Scripture says happiness is found in being a child of God. Contentment is found in being called God's own, the apple of God's eye. Scripture tells us that real wisdom tells us that our contentment is found in serving God, is in living for Him, is in using the gifts and the abilities that He has given to us to bring Him all honor and glory and praise. Real wisdom tells us that our purpose and our identity is being Christian. The world's wisdom, it will damn. What about pain and loss? What does the world and its perceived wisdom, its foolishness, tell us about pain and loss? When things get difficult, when we begin to suffer, when there's hardship, what does the world say? Grin and bear it. Hunker down. Soldier on. Keep going. It's only for a season. Alternatively, it says, woe is me. Our situation defines ourself. Forever I will be a victim of this sickness. Forever I will carry the burden of having gone through this individual, isolated event. True wisdom says, yes, there is hardship, but there is a purpose. True wisdom says, I have a sovereign God. I have a loving Father. I have a caring God who has put me in this position, not out of dumb luck, not out of chance, not out of coincidence, but by His purpose and for His glory. True wisdom says there is a purpose behind everything. I'm not here to suffer in isolation. At worst, I can cry out to my sovereign God, to a God who hears and acknowledges. The world and its wisdom, it damns. But what does the world and its wisdom say about guilt and shame? Because ultimately, all of us feel. Talk to anyone who's taken up a New Year's resolution. 3 weeks later, the New Year's resolution's gone. There's guilt. There's shame. Oh, I should have stuck it. Talk to anyone who's tried to diet. There's guilt. There's shame. Talk to anyone who, any parent who has flew off the handle, who has gotten angry at their child. There's a level of guilt and shame. What do we do? Well, the world says, swallow it. Just swallow it. Push it deep, deep down and forget about it. Ignore the guilt. And if the guilt becomes too much, if the shame becomes too much, doesn't matter. We'll call it something else and we'll make it acceptable. What does true wisdom say? True wisdom says, take your guilt. Take your shame. Take your feelings. Take your faults and fly to the cross of Christ. True wisdom says, run to Calvary and lay your sin on Christ and find there forgiveness. Find there forgiveness forever for every sin committed and be robed in His perfect righteousness. When you sin, when you feel, when you fall, when you stumble, run to the cross of Christ. That's what you do with your guilt and shame. Like Pilgrim's Progress, as Pilgrim enters up and the burden comes off his back and it rolls into the empty tomb, that's where the guilt and shame go. Into the tomb of Christ, because He has dealt with it. Fully and finally. That's true wisdom. The world's wisdom, swallow it. Call it something else. That wisdom damns. And finally, what does the world's wisdom tell you about death and about judgment? Really, there are two extremes. The world tells you we're all okay. We're all heading to heaven. We're all good people. Oh, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I've never murdered anyone. I look after my family. I'm a good, decent person. Or on the other hand, the world says, it doesn't matter. Live your life, enjoy it as much as possible, because ultimately, we're all worm food. Both are misguided. Both are hopeless. Both will damn. No, true wisdom says there is a judgment. True wisdom tells us we're all damned without Christ. But true wisdom says, oh, there is hope. There is escape. There is Christ. We read it in 1 Corinthians. It seems foolish that God would send his only Son into the world, that Christ would die, that he would take his people's punishment, that he would bear it on his back, that he would drink the cup of wrath, that he would say, it is finished, and that for all who repent and believe, there is eternal life. That's true wisdom. The world says, live your life. Death, it's sad, but judgment doesn't really matter. True wisdom says, today is the day of salvation. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Make peace with God now, or be forever damned. This is true wisdom. Friends, which wisdom do you have? Do you have the world's wisdom? Do you continue in it? Young person, you who are doing GCSEs, what does it matter if you get A's and A stars, 8s and 9s? What does it matter if you get the greatest grades in all the earth? That's not true wisdom. That's worldly wisdom. That's intellectualism. That will ultimately damn rather than deliver. Parents, grandparents, adults, men, women, what wisdom do you have? Do you have a wisdom that saves, or are you still following in the world's wisdom, hoping against hope that somehow you'll make it to heaven? Which of the two paths do you follow? Which of the two wisdoms do you truly have? Worldly wisdom, the wisdom that damns, or true godly wisdom that delivers? Look secondly at that wisdom that delivers. The remaining half of verse 7. It tells us, fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is the distinguishing factors between worldly wisdom that damns and saving wisdom that delivers. Worldly wisdom walks in its own ways and does its own things and follows its own path. But wisdom that saves, wisdom that delivers, it has distinguishing characteristics. Firstly, it fears God. And notice, by the way, the order here. Saving wisdom fears God, and in fearing God departs from evil. It does not depart from evil and subsequently and consequently fear God. No, instead it fears God and departs from evil. Well, boys and girls, perhaps you've been given warnings by your parents. Don't do this or there'll be consequences. In my house, it was the wooden spoon. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't associate with these people or you'll be punished. There was an air of reverence. There was an air of authority from my parents. You didn't disobey because you feared them. You knew that they loved you, but you also feared. This is what the proverb is telling us. Fear the Lord. Recognize his authority. Recognize that he has mandated certain things to be done and certain things not to be done. Recognize his commandments. Recognize that he has told you to walk in certain paths and to avoid others. We're not like the child who has been warned by their parents to not to play by the lake, and they try to inch closer and closer and closer to see how close they can get to danger. No, God has dictated certain things and we avoid them because we fear God. We recognize the godness of God. We recognize that He is holy, holy, holy. We recognize that He is majestic and beautiful and bountiful. We recognize that He is God, and we tremble at the thought of disobeying Him. Brothers and sisters, we who confess Christ, can we say that our lives are marked by this fear? When people come to our homes, when they interact with us, when they speak to us, when they see us on the street, is there a fear of God following us? I pray that it would be true. But even in our failures, I point back to the identity that we have from true wisdom. I point back to the guilt and the shame that we have in true wisdom. That even in our failures to fear God as He rightly and ought to be, the shame and the guilt is found in Christ Jesus. But it's not just that. True wisdom fears God, but in verse 7, it departs from evil. It runs from evil. It has nothing to do with evil. It looks at situations and it says, that is sinful, I will have nothing to do with it. Again, boys and girls, at school there's a group of individuals. You know what they're doing is incorrect. You know it's something that your parents would disapprove of, that your teachers would disapprove of, that ultimately God would disapprove of. They're whispering to you. They're trying to get you to join in. What do? You depart. I don't want anything to do with that. No, not today. You depart from the evil. You leave it behind. Friends, like Potter, like Joseph fleeing from Potiphar's wife, you leave the garment behind and you run from sin. The true wisdom, the Christian, we do not partake in sin. We don't play with sin. We don't peddle in sin. We depart from sin. We say we will have nothing to do with sin. This is what true wisdom looks like. It fears God and says, I will not have sin in my life. I will not play with it. I will not have nothing to do with it. Oh yes, we feel. But again, we go to the cross of Christ. For there our failures have been washed by His blood. There our faults, our stumblings, our groans, our aches, when we look at everything we have failed to do, they have been found on the cross of Calvary, and we have been robed in righteousness. So, what wisdom do you want? The world's? It offers no consistency. It offers no hope. It offers no real life. The world's wisdom, it damns. Or will you take the wisdom that delivers? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of Christ Jesus. The wisdom that says, Lord, I am a sinful man, but You are a greater Savior. Lord, save me. Lord, I will live for You. Lord, I will fear You, and I will depart from evil. Amen and amen.